Perek Ches Pasuk Chav Ches. But before we do Perek Pasuk Chav Ches, I remember we have to first do this Gemara Masechet Arochin. Gemara Masechet Arochin Daf Yud Amud Beis discusses Pasuk Chav Zayin. Pasuk Chav Zayin we learned yesterday. Let us review the pasuk. B'chufarei Zav Eshrim La Adar Choinim Aleph. There were bowls of gold, 20 bowls of gold, each one equaling 1,000 dar chonim. We discussed it yesterday. Uchle nechoshes mutzav toivo shnayim, chamudos ka zahav. We learned the pasuk according to one of the two interpretations that we discussed yesterday. And there were two utensils. The word shnayim is coming to explain the beginning of the pasuk. There were two klei nechoshes mutzav toivo that were glistening like gold. They had a goldish color, chamudos kazav, they were precious as gold. What is the significance of there being exactly two kelim? So this is a Gemara Masechta Arochin, Daf Yud. Let me read you the Gemara. Okay, you don't have it in front of you, but I have it, so I'll read it slowly. Tan Rabbanan, Tzilzol, Haya B'migdash. Tzilzol is symbols. I go to a orchestra. So they had this in the Migdash. I don't know, what do they make them out of today? What type of metal is it made out of today? Brass? Okay, so it was made out of copper. It was sweet. It produced a delicious, sweet sound, the Nifkan. And it's not clear why they were such hakpada on the perfection of the sound. Well, you would think it's a musical instrument today. Okay, I know you can get a Stradivarius violin. There's nothing like a Stradivarius that produces, but there's such a nuance, such a perfection in the sound and in the instrument. But the nifkam, it was damaged. V'sholchu chachamim v'hevu umanim me'Alexandria shol Mitzrayim v'siknuhu. They imported experts, the world experts in this instrument, in repairing the sound, and they repaired it. But v'lo hoya kol arev. It was still, they could not, even the biggest experts cannot restore the perfect sound. So what do they do? Notlu. They took it. I'm not clear what the Gemara means. But they eventually did repair it. That was one utensil. The second utensil was a machteshes, is a mortar to crush spices. We know, we read the Keteres, the Pidma Keteres, we don't really understand what this means either, but when they would grind the besamim, they would say words, hodeik, heitev, heitev, hodeik, because somehow sound waves have an effect on the quality of the spices, of the pita makataris, the ingredients that were used to produce the fragrance in the kataris that was offered twice daily, and in Yom HaKippurim, it had to produce the perfect fragrance, and in order for it to produce the perfect fragrance, you had to have the perfect spices, and the spices had to be crushed in a very precise way, and something which is totally lost from us today. I don't know if there is any, maybe someone here is aware, there is some science that the sound waves that were produced when they were grinded had an effect on the quality of the spices. Anyone familiar with this idea?
It's the rhythm that
when they would grind it up, they would say hodeik, heitev, heitev, hodeik. Sound is beneficial for the production of the spices. I don't know what this means. I don't think we really know what this means. We lost this art. However, so there was a machteshes, there was a mortar that was used to crush the spices. And Hoya B'Migdash, Vishal Nechoshes, so likewise was made from Nechoshes, Umimos Moshe Hoy, so this was manufactured from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, Vahoysa Mifatemes Es HaBesamim, Nifgima. And this utensil was broken, was damaged, and this, of course, during the time of Nebuchadnezzar, he brought it down to Babel, who was in the possession of a Koresh, Daryovesh, Koresh, now Daryovesh ben Esther, and again it wasn't, they tried the best they can do, and they tried again and again until eventually they got it as good as it can possibly be. So this was the second utensil that is mentioned here in this pasuk. Elu shnei kelim nishtairu mimikdash rishon v'nifkamu v'lohoy lohem arucha. It was never perfectly repaired. And this is what it alludes to here in this pasuk over here. V'aleim hu'oimer uchlein nechoshes mutzav z'toiva shenayim. And that's what the pasuk here alludes to. They're obviously very deep things, but both of these pasuk, according to the interpretation of the Gemara Masechet Arachim, refers to two different utensils that specialize in producing sound. One sound was sound for the shir, when the Levim would sing shir before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the other sound was a sound that was necessary in order to enhance the production, the manufacturing of the besamim for that was offered every single day. One were the symbols, the tzilzil, the mitziltayim, and the other was the smachteshes. And that's what it means here in this pasuk, in pasuk of Zayin, there was uchlei nechoshes mutzhav tova shenayim. Two different kalim which were used, and these two kelim were the last kelim that we still not yet restored to the Beis Hamikdash. Obviously they were very valuable. They had great value because Koresh, we learned back in the beginning of Sefer Ezra, did give over to the Oilim most of the kelim that were from the Beis Hamikdash, which he had inherited from the time of Nebuchadnezzar. And then we assume even during Daryavesh, when they began to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash about a number of years later, 14 years later, they also took with them kelim back to the Beis Hamikdash. But now when Ezra is making his ascent to Eretz Yisrael, they're giving over the very last kelim that have not yet been restored to the Beis HaMikdash, which include these two kelim, the kelim nechoshes mutzav tova shnayim. They were damaged, chamudos kazov, and the significance of these kelim is it produced sound. What is the greatest significance? I don't know. There's a lot of symbolism and parallelism to what happened when Bnei Yisrael went up to they went to build the Beis HaMikdash in the time of Yoshua. Kibush Rishon. That was Kibush Sheni. So, but that's something just to keep in mind in regard to this pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Ches. Now when they are about to depart, so many things are happening here along this river Ahava. They have still not departed. And now Ezra now says to the people who are about to depart, Omer Alem, I said to them, Atem Kodesh LaHashem V'Akelim Kodesh. Simply this means Ezra is speaking to the Kohanim. You are holy people, and the Kalim are holy. And the silver and the gold is a gift to Hashem Elokei, the God of your fathers. And therefore, Pasuk Chavtesh, Shiktu v'shimru, be zealous and guard. Be very careful. Devote all of every effort you have to guard the kelim. Ad until tishkelu, until you weigh out. You bring the kelim to the Beis HaMikdash, and you hand them over to the gizborim, the custodians of the Beis HaMikdash, and when you will do so, you will actually weigh out, make an accounting that everything that has been given to you has been handed over. Lifnei before Sore, the princes, HaKohanim, the Halavim, the Sore HaAvos, and the leaders of the heads of the families, the leaders who are the heads of the families, Yisrael, Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim, Halishkais, of the chambers, Beis HaShem, that are appointed over the chambers, referring over here to the Beis HaMikdash and the various parts of the Beis HaMikdash in the Beis HaShem. Now, there are a lot of things to learn from this pasuk. Let's first look at these two pasukim. Let's first look at Rashi pasuk Chaf Ches. Aleihem. Who exactly here was Ezra speaking to before they departed? He was speaking to, Rashi learns, Lo'oysom Sore HaKoyhanim. Rashi learns the Koyhanim. Other Rishonim disagree with Rashi. Ezra was speaking to the Levim, because the Levim in the Midbar were the ones that were given the role to carry the Mishkan. And here when they're taking the donation and Kalim to the Beis HaMikdash, is everything okay?
Yeah.
And here when they're preparing to travel to Eretz Yisrael, there is a reenactment of what happened when Bnei Yisrael traveled in the Midbar to build, enter into Eretz Yisrael to build the Mishkan. And in the Midbar, who were the ones that were entrusted with carrying the Kalim of the Mishkan? The Levim. Therefore, some disagree with Rashi, and they say that since over here we have mentioned in the previous Pesukim a collection of Levim and a collection of Kohanim, Ezra gave over the Kalim to the Levim. And that also answers a very big question. Why was Ezra so makbid to find Levim? Remember, they're about to depart. Here they are. They have come to the river that flows into Ahava. Ezra makes an accounting. Who is with us? And he discovers there are no Levim. He's very disturbed. We're not going. We're not going anywhere until we get a couple of good Levim. And he collects the 48 Levim. Why was Ezra so desperate for Levim? You can't say because he needed Levim to sing in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash already has been functioning for 25 years. The Mikdash was functional 52 years after the Chorban. Koresh gave permission for the Jews to return. The first thing they did was they built the Mizbeach, they put up a curtain, and they started to offer sacrifices. When you offer sacrifice, you need Kohanim, you need Levim to sing Shira. And then it was halted, they stopped the construction of the Mikdash, but we assume they continued to offer Korbanos during that time when Koresh issued a freeze on construction. And then 14 years later, they resumed construction, and they even had a dedication. They took 4 years to finish the building of the Beis HaMikdash. There was a Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, there were Levim. So what is Ezra going to accomplish now? He's going to bring another couple of Levim. They had Levim in the Beis HaMikdash. Why was Ezra so desperate not to leave Bavel to Eretz Yisrael until he went to the city Kosifia and got Levim? The answer is because Ezra is reenacting Kibush Rishon. He's reenacting Yoshua's conquest of the land. He's reenacting Moshe Rabbeinu's journey in the Midbar. Moshe was planning to enter Israel immediately. It wasn't meant to take 40 years. And when Moshe traveled in the desert, who were the ones that were entrusted to carry the Kalim? The Levim. So Ezra here wants to reenact. Who do we need? We need Levim to carry, to be entrusted with the donations of the Jewish people and of the king and of the Shivas, Roye Pnei HaMelech, and the Kalim, which have been restored from Daryavesh, from the king's treasury, to the Beis HaMikdash. There are no Levim? We can't go. So if that's the case, then it would make much more logical sense when it says here in Pasuk Chof Ches, I think maybe Ezra says that it was the Levim, or the Ralbag, that Ezra is now entrusting the Levim to carry the Kalim. And that's why in the previous Pesuk he made such a big issue, I'm not leaving until we have some of the Levim. But that's not how Rashi learns. Rashi learns he spoke to the Kohanim. And from that, let's just finish up the Rashi. I spoke, Aleim Loisim Sori HaKohanim, Choftes, Halishkoi Space Hashem, Kidei Litin, the Pasuk is Chosen. It's a short Pasuk. It's very hard to take a little translation of Pasuk Choftes, and Rashi comes to aid in a couple of words. It says in the end of Pasuk Choftes that you shall be very careful, Shikdu Vishimru, you shall be very careful to guard Atishlu until you will hand over the Kalim Lefnei Sori HaKohanim, Halavim, Vesori Havos Li Yisrael, Birushalayim, and the last three words really stick out. They don't really flow well into a literal translation of the Pasuk, and Rashi comes to add in a couple of words to make it smooth. Halishkoi space Hashem kidei litein, add the word litein, add really two words, in order to deposit, until you give it over to the custodians, who in turn will deposit the money, the donations, and the kelim in kidei litein belishkos habayis. Let's look at the mitzudos. David Pasuk of Chesam Pasuk of Tes, Atem Kodesh, Umeharoil Hinosin HaKodesh Biyad HaKodesh. He's saying something very beautiful, which touches upon a halach we'll come to in a moment, that Ezra begins by speaking either to Kohanim or to the Levim, and he tells them, you are holy people. Now the whole Klal Yisrael is holy. Atem Tihiyun Li Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kodesh. What? Atem Kidoshim. It's a very good point. So why is Atem Kodesh? So it should be plural, and it's a very good point. So sometimes it's not the most difficult question, because there are sometimes we refer to a unit of individuals as one unit, a single unit, b'lashon yachid, atem kodesh. Okay, I hear what you're saying. But over here, since you are more holy, the kohanim or the levim are more holy than other members of Klal Yisrael, it's fitting that it should be in your possession donations and silver and gold and kalim, which are also kodesh. One kind, matzah min es mino. Atem kodesh, you are holy. One more time, words of the mitzvahs. U'meharoi tzvingli nas na kodesh b'ra kodesh. Nidav l'Hashem u'lekodesh yechashev. These donations are gifts to Hashem, and they are considered holy. Shiktu v'shimru, maharu, be swift, be very quick, b'davar, b'dvar, tzarech ha-kelim v'ha-kesev v'ha-zov, with regarding to the donations, v'shimru osam, guard v'shamru osam ad asher tashibu b'mishkul, until you will hand it over, you will give it over to the custodians by weight. Lifnei sorei l'sitem el halishkois asher b'beis Hashem. Now from here we learn a halacha, assuming that Rashi is correct, following the approach of Rashi. Rashi is always correct, ayin tam l'tara, following the approach of Rashi, that the people here are the kohanim, we have a halacha that you're not allowed to derive benefit from a kohen. A kohen is not allowed to serve you. It's a very big problem. Halacha l'maaseh is manazeh, where you go to a kohen is a waiter. It's not so simple, because we learn it from this pasuk, atem kodesh. Why did Ezra have to say these words, atem kodesh l'Hashem v'hakelim kodesh?
But that's in the Beis HaMikdash. Today we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so a kohen.
It doesn't matter, but still a kohen has extra sanctity. V'kidashto, you shall sanctify the kohen. Litin money yofe, if he gets takes the first portion. Besides the fact that we give the kohen truma, but there are other inyanim where we have an obligation to sanctify the kohen and not to be mezalzel in his kedusha.
Why do they have Michael?
Meichel, it's not for them to be Meichel. They don't have a right to be Meichel.
Sometimes they hold the door open.
They don't
stand there. He stands there.
It's complicated. I don't know the answer. Does maybe we'll learn in Kishuruch. We'll learn more, some of the more details.
Asking the Kohanim to leave.
Okay, there are different opinions. I thought originally it was a nasty thing to do. Originally, right? It's a tacky go. But the truth is, it's brought down. It's not necessarily the end of the world in different situations. It depends on, you can't generalize. There are situations where it's called for, where it's the proper thing for the Kohen to walk out in order to allow other people to take aliyos where it's necessary. They have chiyuvim. You're not doing it. It's not a disgrace to the Kohen. Other people have an obligation to get an aliyah. So the Kohen should assist in allowing the other person to fulfill his obligation. So Adarab, he's doing a service. It's not that you're being mavazah him, you're telling him to leave. There is an obligation for this person to get an aliyah today, and the Kohen anyway gets aliyahs every single day. So it's not so terrible. You should not be present when that moment comes. So that's a separate issue. But here, just like Kalim, Atem Kodesh, and the Kalim HaKodesh, just like it is forbidden to derive benefit, personal benefit, from a utensil that is the proper of the Beis HaMikdash, that has sacred status, likewise it is forbidden to derive personal benefit from a Kohen. A Kohen should not serve as your waiter, and things like that. The Gemara relates different stories where there were different Kohanim that were servicing different people, and they protested. This is not right. This is a Kohen. He v'kidashto. We have a pasuk, Atem Kodesh l'Hashem v'hakelim Kodesh, and the juxtaposition is to teach us, just like Kelim HaKodesh, you may not derive benefit from a Kohen, and you're not allowed. Sometimes an exception was made for a Talmud Chacham. If a Talmud Chacham is a Yisrael, and then a Kohen at times can be mechabed a Kohen. If I'm not mistaken, that Rav Avadya Yosef, where he davens the Sardim, he always gets the first Aliyah. Rav Avadya Yosef is not a Kohen. And that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that a Chacham gets the first Aliyah. We don't do this today because Ein L'dav Sof. Why is this one a Chacham more than? So if our custom is, you give even a Kohen Am Oretz, you'll give him an Aliyah before you'll give the biggest Rosh Hashiva an Aliyah. But by the Sardim, there they follow strict Shulchan Aruch, and if I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Chacham Avadia Yosef, he always gets the first Aliyah. He gets Rishon, no matter what.
So the Kohen never gets an Aliyah.
But his Shul, I guess not, unless he doesn't get Aliyah. I don't know. I don't know the procedure. This is what I've heard. Kach Shamati, that generally he gets the first Aliyah. You go to a yeshiva, so they'll give a Talmud Chacham Shlishi, right? You go to Chassidish Rebbe, they get Shishi. But by the Sfardim, the Chacham, they have very great respect for the Chacham, and he gets the first Aliyah no matter what. Mr. Nusra, are you familiar with this? You heard about not the Chacham, only certain communities.
What about the 7 years between the while the Kohanim were in Golos?
Yes. There were no Aliyahs. This takana.
But they had to have some kind of a job. Something to do.
No, it was Chorban.
Yeah.
During these 70 years, there was Chorban. There was
not about to do something to benefit people.
Not necessarily. There was no. All of them in Hagim, the structure of Tefillah and Kriyas HaTorah came much later. Ezra was the first one to institute Kriyas HaTorah with seven Aliyos. So if we would go and we have a snapshot. Can you imagine a video clip of what life was like during this period of time?
Chaos.
I wouldn't say it would be chaos. It was probably very dignified. But it's just not what we're used to. It was a different type of life, not what we're used to.
Done by who? No, it wasn't.
Who has the
Yes, that's right. It's a matter. All the minhagim, Simchas Torah is even less, only 400 years. The whole minhag Simchas Torah, all the minhagim are relatively 400 years. Most of all, the way we live today was put into place 400 years ago. Then you go back more than 400 years, it's a little bit different. It's very similar, but it's not with the same flavor that we are accustomed to today. Okay, that's one issue. Another very interesting issue is Ezra's demand, shiktu v'shimu, two words. Should be very careful to guard. Why is he instructing them to guard? So it appears everything that's happening now is a reenactment of what happened when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, and they planned to travel very shortly into Eretz Yisrael before they came across the detour of the Egel and had to stay in the desert for 40 years and the Meraglim and so on and so forth. When they left Mitzrayim, we have a pasuk, Ushmartem es hamatzos, and shall guard the matzos. Make sure, now it doesn't only mean make sure it does not turn into chametz. Make sure that's not really what it means. There was a degree. This was the Bizas Mitzrayim. The Bizas Mitzrayim was they took with them matzah. Okay, whatever matzah represents, we're coming to Pesach, so maybe we'll figure out what matzah represents. But there was an inyan of shmira. You had to channel your feeling, your feelings of kedusha, of sanctity for what's about to happen into an object. And when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, it was channeled, the anticipation. Shmira doesn't only mean to guard, it means to anticipate, yearning. The classic example is Yaakov Avinu, when he was told, Yosef told him his dreams, that the 11 stars and the sun and the moon will come and bow down to me. Yaakov criticized Yosef. What are you saying? Such ridiculous things. You're causing jealousy among your brothers, and your mother no longer is here. It's not possible for the moon to come bow down to you. What are you saying? These ridiculous things. So he criticized him. Stop saying this. But however, the positive includes the Aviv Shomar es Hadavar. And Rashi here on that pasuk says, what does it mean? Shomar mitzape. He yearned. Mosayava. Yaakov knew that there was truth to the dream. He anticipated. Mosayava. When will it come about? Shmira has a connotation of a yearning. You yearn for something to come. When Klal Yisrael, they left Mitzrayim, the Gilui Shechina was expressed, was materialized in the matzah. Matzah zo, shanu echal shuma, actually higlu, actually we did not leave Mitzrayim. At shehigla alein melech malchei amlochim hakadosh baruch hu uga olam. Matzah, the nusach of matzah zushon echlun the hagado expresses the concept of gilui shchina. We all think of matzah. We were in a rush. We were quick. It was bread lechem oni. It was bread, slave food. All of that is true. But read the Haggadah. In the Haggadah, call me shloy amar shloy shadvarm ilu ba pesach lo yod say dechavosai. Pesach matzah mar. You have to explain why you're eating matzah. And you're shocked. You come to matzah. You think, oh, you know why we eat matzah? Because this was the type of bread that we ate when we were slaves. They gave us slave food. Or because we were in such a rush to leave, so we didn't have time to bake our bread. That's not the way it's expressed in the Haggadah. It's the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself. We were in Mitzrayim, we were preparing our bread, and it was Gilui Shechina. So of course, being that it was Gilui Shechina, we were in a rush, we left very quickly. But it represents the concept that we are the Am HaNivchar. Hashem has rested His divine presence upon us. When we left Mitzrayim, we were told, Ushmartem es hamatzos. This Gilui Shechina, this event that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed Himself to Klal Yisrael, He rested His divine presence, which we're totally lost. We have no clue what this means, but it represents something very, very mystical. Hashem revealed His divine presence upon us. Guard it. Ushmartin es hamatzos. Hold on to it. Preserve it. Yearn that it shall always remain with you. It shall even get greater as you come into Eretz Yisrael. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded when we left Mitzrayim, Ushmartem es hamatzos, and Chazal elaborate, Al tikri matzos, el mitzos. Rabbi Mayevsky, do you ever get nervous when you lay in Ushmartem es hamatzos and you by mistake lay in mitzos? When I used to lay, I always worried I would say Ushmartem es hamitzos. I always get nervous on that word because it's so used to learning in the Gemara, Shmartim es hamitzos, I'll think of Shmartim es hamatzos.
Levi says, we don't eat matzah because we left Mitzrayim, we left Mitzrayim so that we could eat matzah.
It represents something very holy. Here, they're leaving Bavel. What are they going to hold on to? There has to be a reenactment of Ushmartim es hamatzos, or in this context, Ushmartim es hamitzos. This anticipation and yearning was channeled into the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Shiktu v'shimru. Be very careful to guard. You are the Kohanim. You are holy. He's really speaking to the whole Klal Yisrael. Atem Kodesh, someone mentioned. Of course, the Kohanim are more holy, and the similar interpretation of the Pasuk is the Kohanim are holy, the Levim are holy, but it's referring really to the entire Klal Yisrael. We're about to embark on a very great mission. We're about to make Aliyah. We're coming to Eretz Yisrael. We are reenacting the Kibush of Yehoshua, but it's going to be even better. Godol Yekovot Havayis Ha'acharon Yosem in Harishon, Pasuk in Zechariah. It was really meant to be. This was meant to be the Geula Ha'asidah. This was meant to be the Bayis Shlishi. That's what Ezra was trying to awaken the Jewish people. Unfortunately, only 1,700 people wanted to come, even though there were at least 800,000 people, if not millions of people. But he's trying to reenact every little thing that's recorded here in the Sifrei Ksuvim. It's not just a history book. This is not just a secular book. It's Kodesh. There's great lessons here. And if he says, Shiktu v'shimu atishkum l'fnei ha'sorach v'hanam ha'levim v'sori avos l'yisro b'yushlam ha'lishkos b'es Hashem, he's telling, he's reenacting here with Shmartem es hamatzos, Shmartem es hamitzos. Take the Kedusha. Look at the Kalim. Some of the Kalim here, Rashi, we just learned the Gemara in Seth Arachim. Go back from Moshe Rabbeinu. These are the two Kalim. Chaludos kazov. Moshe Rabbeinu made these symbols. The Pitam HaKetores. The Pitam HaKetores is Kodesh Kadoshim. It says in the Pasuk. We bring the Ketores and the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom HaKippurim. We're dealing here with the Holy of Holies. This is Kodesh Kadoshim Ushmartem. Remember, yearn for this Kedusha, anticipate the Kedusha that we're coming to in the Beis HaMikdash, reenact what we had, and maybe we'll merit to the Geula HaSida. Okay, now we come to Pasuk Lamed.
Do these replace the Kalim that were being used already? because
I guess so. They improvised until now. They had to offer keteres, so they had no choice. They had to sing shira b'tzilzle shama haluhu b'tzilzle shama haluhu b'tzilzle shura. They had to be the tzilzolim. They had to use. They this didn't have this. This was much more sentimental. This went back from time of Moshe Rabbeinu. The quality of sound was that much greater. I mean, to us, it's hard to understand what's the difference. A little better, a little bit more, but. Hashem has perfect pitch. Okay, but obviously until now they improvised. They did the best that they can, but they're trying to restore. They're trying to be mekayim what it says in Zechariah: Godol yihiyeh kavod habayis ha'acharon yoseh min harishon. Now it's referring to the bayis sheni we're about to build. It never really happened. It happened in years. So they were 10 more years instead of 410 years, 420 years. And structure, Hordis, the beginning of Hordis was a magnificent building, but as far as Kedusha was concerned, that never happened. There were five things that were missing in the Bayis Sheni that were not present in the Bayis Rishon: the Uvitumim and the Shechina and the Luchos and the Kapores so it's never really achieved the fulfillment of that pasuk. The Kiblu HaKohanim, the Kohanim accepted upon themselves the task. Mishkol, Hakesev, Hazav, Yakelim, they accepted upon themselves the weight of the silver, the gold, and the kelim, Lahavim, Yushalayim, to bring Lushalayim, Lebeis, Elokeinu, to the base of the house of our God. This is the third time it makes mention that they, the first we mentioned before twice. There was a weighing back in Pasuk Chavav, Pasuk Chafel, Chavav. We already mentioned the weighing of the Zav Chesef. If we go back to Pasuk Chafel, Chavav, there's the first word, Ve'eshkala. Pasuk Chavav again, Ve'eshkala, Al Yadam. And now Pasuk Lam, Ve'nochamol. They accepted upon themselves the charge. The Kibbul HaKohanim, Halim, Mishkol, HaKesef, Yazav, the Kaman, Halim, the weight of the silver and the gold, Ve'akelim, Lehavim, Le'ushlaim, Le'beis, Elokeinu. Let's see Pasuk Lamed in Rashi. There is no Rashi in the Mitzudos. Mishkol HaKesef, Atzulema HaKesef, Ve'kiblu B'mishkol, they accepted the silver by weight. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vanissa, finally now they embark. After this long process of coming there and waiting by the river, making an accounting, they stayed there for 3 days, there are no Levian, they sent for the Levian, and then they were embarrassed that they had no protection, so they had a fast, and then Hashem accepted their prayer, and now he makes this announcement of Shittu Vishimu, he gives over the gold and the silver. Finally now they're ready to deep. They go on a flight, you sit on the plane, you're waiting to leave, and there's another delay, and another delay, and another delay. Finally, the plane takes off 10 hours behind schedule. Well, that's exactly nice of a single one. That's exactly what has happened over here. They were there in the airport in Al on the river of Ahava, and it took a very long time until finally they departed. Vanissa, we travel. Vanissa, and they traveled minahar Ahava from the river Ahava. B'shneim also lechadosh rishon. Now they went Erev Pesach. It's very, very bizarre why they left so right before Pesach. That means they would have to be mechallel when you are traveling. There's always going to be chilul yomtiv. Okay, they wanted. They're right. That's what they say. They Ezra felt it would be kafitzas haderech for Esa eschem al kanfei nisharim. Ezra was doing everything in his power. Maybe it will be zaycha to kafitzas haderech. It didn't happen. It took 4 months. Okay, there were many stops, but Vanissa Minahar Ahava B'Shneim also L'Chodesh HaRishon, on the 12th day of the Chodesh HaRishon. Remember, they came to the river on the first day of Chodesh. They came to the area, the staging area, to embark on the first day of Chodesh Nisan. It took 12 days for all of the events that we learned in the previous Pesukim to unfold. The Yom Tzom, we should be protected, and the search for more Levim, and all of the accounting of the Ches of Azav. Finally, on the 12th day, they traveled. Loleches, to travel Yerushalayim. The Yad Elokeinu Hoysa Aleinu, the hand of Hashem was upon us. Again, that expression we discussed on Friday, the Yad Hashem. Now it's really being repeated over and over again, this idea of the Kaf. Vayatzileinu Mikaf Oyev, Hashem saved us from the Kaf, from the hand, the grasp of Oyev, Oyrev, Oyrev, Aladorech, two different types of enemies. There's an Oyev and an Oyrev, I'm not exactly sure the difference, but two different types of enemies, different tactics that lie on the road that are a source of danger. Pasuk Lamed Beis, let's just read a few psukim, then we'll do some old rachs together. Vanovo Yerushalayim, we arrived. Lying, waiting. So Oyev is more chutzpah. Oyev is more chutzpah. They're not afraid to come out in the open. Oyev, they lurk. They lie in ambush. They lie in ambush. They're afraid. They have more.
Terrorists.
It's different types of enemies. Vanovo Yerushalayim. Pasuk Lamedes. We arrived in Yerushalayim. Vaneshav Sham Yamim Shloisha. So they arrived in Yerushalayim and they did nothing. They just took in the scenery. They sat there for 3 days. It's not clear why they had to, I guess, to absorb. We learned many times that 3 days, Hashem told Amravinu that it took 3 days to travel to the Akedah. Because no one should say that I confused Avraham, I scared him into offering his son. You have to have Yishuv Hadas before you do anything significant. So before they did anything in Yerushalayim, before they gave over the Kalim to the custodians, they rested for 3 days. Uvayom Harivi, on day 4, Mishkal HaKesev, it seems there was a very big avoda. It was a very big, great service in weighing, with such emphasis in weighing the silver and the gold, the kelim, and guarding it. It's all part of this idea, the shmartanes hanatzos. Uvayom Harivi, on day 4, Nishkal HaKesef, we weighed HaKesef, the silver, the hazov, the hakelim, beveis elokeinu. Who were the custodians? So now we are introduced to a new cast of characters. These people were not mentioned 25 years ago when Koresh, these people obviously were living here since the time of Koresh, and I guess they were youngsters then, or maybe they were not even born. And now they were born and developed, and they took positions of leadership, and here they're mentioned for the first time, Al Yad Miremos ben Uriah HaKohen, Vimo, who was his assistant, Elazar ben Pinchas, Vimo, him and with them was Yozavod ben Yeshua. Maybe he was the son of Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. But it doesn't seem so, because it said there were Levim. Because it seemed the word Levim at the end of the pasuk going back on all of them. So it seemed there was a Levi, it wasn't a Kohen. Vimo with him, Elazar ben Pinchas, Vimohem with them, Yozavod ben Yeshua, Vino Adya, Ven Binui HaLevim. The big question that's a mystery is what happened to Yehoshua Kohen Gadol? And what happened to Zerubbabel? They are mysteriously not mentioned. They seem to have disappeared. I don't know if they're mentioned anymore until the end of even the Nehemiah. I don't remember. We'll come across it, but I don't think for some reason they're no longer mentioned here anymore. Now there's a new leadership. These are the people, and all of the things are given over to them. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, the mispar by number, the mishkol by weight, lakol, everything. Everything was, there was an accounting, a full accounting made, open books, transparency. It's the magic word of this generation: transparency and accountability. Those are the two key words of this generation. The mispar of the mishkol, my number and my weight, lakol, everything, all of the kelim, zav, chesef, nechosha, so on and so forth, vayikosem, es hamishkol, b'way sahi, and it was recorded. Now let's see over here some of the Rashis, a few Rashis, starting with Pasik, Lamid Aleph. B'shnei Moshe L'chodesh HaRishon, on the 12th day of the first month, B'shnei Moshe L'Nisan, on the 12th day of Nisan, they began their journey. So that is 2 days before Erev Pesach. So, and then 3 days before Pesach, obviously they're going to have to stop on the road. And when you travel, at times there's a mitzvah Chol Shabbos, Chol Yom Tov, but Ezra felt that it was essential. He was a Navi, and he felt it was the right thing to start traveling at this point in time, time of Pesach. The Yad Elokeinu Hoytza Eleinu, Lahatzlichenu, to bring about our success, Al HaDerech, Asher Alachnu Alech, which we have embarked upon. La medal and Rashi, the mispar mishkal hakol, mispar hakelim mishkalam, the number of kelim and the weight of the kelim, kasher kabluhu, as we have received, kachoy nishkal kulo kasher paruhu, it was exactly the same when it was delivered. Every single thing was accounted for. Let's see the mitzvahs and pasuk lamed aleph, minahar ava. Minahar Haboel Ahava, the Mitzvah is consistent. Every time it says Nahar Ahava, he always tells us do not take it literally. It's very interesting because the Mitzvah is always more literal. Rashi is always the one that says don't take things literally, and the Mitzudos always, his style is take everything literally. But I guess in this context, he holds that he on his map, the Har Ahava was nowhere near where the Jews were living at this point in time, according to his understanding. So it has to be some type of channel which flowed into the river called Ahava. Min Har Habo El Ahava. Nishkal Masainu Akesef B'Mishkal B'Yad Miremos. We delivered the money to the custodian. Who is the chief custodian? His name was Miremos. The Mispar Esakelim Masainu B'Mispar. We delivered the kelim by number. Uve Mishkal Weight Kol Echad VeEchad VaYikasev. Leman Yamod Luzi Karon. There should be a record. They didn't just write it down just stam. They wrote it down that for all generations people should know that they were honest. There was an accounting. Everything that was donated was delivered. There was no fraud. There was no Geneva. Everything was done Kedasu Chodin. Okay, let's see Pasik Lamed. Hey. Pasik Lamed. Hey. Haboim Me'ashvi V'nei Hagola. Now when they arrived, what do? They offered karbanos. Okay, so let's try to finish up the parak. They arrived on scene, and now they're offering a series of karbanos. What are the karbanos? Those who arrived from the captivity of Bnei Hagola. It's a very interesting expression that was calling them the Shvi Bnei Hagola, the exiles. Hikrivu, they offered oilois, burnt offerings, l'Elokei Yisrael. What did they offer? Parim Shneimasar, bulls, 12, al kol Yisrael, one bull for each tribe, for each shevet. Eilin Tishim Vishisha, rams, 96 rams, kivasim, lambs, shivim vishiva, 77. Then they offered goats, Sifirei Chatos, goats, not oilots, not burnt offerings, but rather sin offerings, Shnei Masar, 12. Hakol, then the Pasuk says everything, the four categories of karbanos, which were Parim, Elim, Kivasim, and Izim, were a grand total. Everything was offered. Hakol Oilol Hashem was a complete burnt offering. Now there are many contradictions. First of all, if it's a chatos, if the last 12 were chatos, a chatos is eaten by the kohanim. Kodshei Kodashim, it's eaten for one day, one night. We say this in davening, in the Mishnayis of Zeizel Mekoyman. So in Achnami, it was a Haroa Shah. Everything that's happening over here is Haroa Shah. Was an exceptional time. Ezra was a Navi, and the time called to offer these karbanos, they were sin offerings, but it was a sin offering which was offered as a burnt offering. Now the truth is, it's not necessarily harashah, because what was the purpose of these offerings? So Chazal tell us, this is a Gemara in Horios. The Gemara in Horios discusses in great detail the law of a tzibur who worships Avodah Zarah. If a tzibur inadvertently worships Avodah Zarah, the halach is, you offer a par and a goat. A par, the parim hanisrofim. There are parim, and they are offered as a sin offering for the tzibur worshipping Avodah Zarah. And that offering is comprised of a par and an ais. And the par and the ais are completely burnt. Now, the problem though is, you only offer one set, one par and one ais. If the entire Klal Yisrael worships Avodah Zarah by accident, the Beis Din tells the Olam that this type of service is mutter, it's not Avodah Zarah, and then they acknowledge they made a mistake. The halacha is, each individual does not offer his own private offering, but rather the Kohen Gadol offers a collective sin offering for the entire Klal Yisrael, which is comprised of a par and a goat. The problem though is, you only offer one set, one par, one goat for the entire Klal Yisrael. Why here are they offering 12? And why, in addition to the 12 sets, 12 parim and 12 izim, are they also offering 96 elim and 77 kivasim? Where do those animals come in? A further difficulty is, when the Klal Yisrael sins and they offer this collective carbon for the entire Klal Yisrael, that's only where they sin by accident. It's an inadvertent sin. But where they sin b'nezid, they know that it is forbidden, and nevertheless they decide to worship idols, there is no such thing as offering a sacrifice for Klal Yisrael. So the answer to all these questions is Hoyroasha. It was a, now, what do we mean Hoyroasha? I left that one very important point. The reason why they were offering these korbanos was to atone for the avodah zarah that was committed before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, which was the cause of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. One of the reasons why the Bayis Rishon was destroyed was because of avodah zarah. Gili Arayos, Shvichas Tam, and Avodah Zarah. Now they need to atone for the Avodah Zarah that was committed during the last generation of Klal Yisrael, which led to the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. It's an atonement. So that atonement is now being taken care of with this set of Karbanos, these four Karbanos. But it's not a perfect atonement. And it doesn't really follow what the Torah tells us to do. And Achnami, it was Haroasha to atone for Klal Yisrael. Let's see the Rashi.
Is there a time limit of how long you have to bring a carbon?
Statute of limitations. Yeah. Seemingly not. The Gemara tells us about one of the Tannoim that he was Michal Shabbos, inadvertently. He tilted the candle on Shabbos. He was learning, and he pushed in there, and he said that when the base Hanush be rebuilt, I'll offer a Chata Shemena. A large animal, a fat animal, as a karmachatas. When will the Beis HaMikdash be rebuilt? Well, it has still not occurred. So, obviously, felt there's no statute of limitations when it comes to offering karbanas. When the Mikdash will be rebuilt, we will all have to offer karbanas for all of our inadvertent sins.
But you would need to specify when you do carbon.
I know, it's not so simple. It's very complicated how things will occur. I don't know. I don't know the answer. Let's see Rashi. So, by the way, I have to listen to the Rashi's and we'll pass the Dalit. Pasik Lamid, no, well, we did that. Let's see, Pasik Lamid Hey. Pasik Lamid Hey. Habo Meashuvin Agoila, Halalu Asher Bohu Im Ezra, the following which came with Ezra, Hikrivu Oilos, Hakol Oil. Everything was a burnt or everything was burnt completely, even though it was a sin offering. But the why? The So Rashi just very simply says, don't ask any questions. The numbers 12, 96, 77, where in the world do these numbers come from? We don't know the answer.
Is 77 on Sukkot? It comes from
70. On Sukkot we offer 70 bulls for the nations of the world. So this was all of a Klal Yisrael. It's not clear. Let's see the Mitsudos. The Mitsudos doesn't say very much. Pasuk Lamed Hey, who hipuch kemo haboim, those that are come, who hipuch kemo v'nei hagola haboim ha'shvi. We have to read the pasuk backwards. He just says that don't read the pasuk as many times in Tanakh, don't read the words in order, read the words out of order. So start with the words v'nei hagola haboim ha'shvi. If you take the words, you read the words literally, it doesn't really make sense. So read, go and jump in the middle of the B'nei HaGoyla HaBoim Nei HaShvi, which have come from the exile, Hikrivu Ola. That's very common, especially in Yeshayim, in the Vimachonim. You have to read the words, pick the words. You have a Pasuk, don't read the words like an English sentence, one word at a time. You have a sentence, it's a puzzle. Take a word, two words here, two words there, and rewrite the Pasuk in a different order in order to make sense of what the Pasuk means. Hipuch, that's what the middle seer means in this expression. Next word, Sipore, Al Kol Yisrael. Ba'avur Kol Yisrael. So that's coming to address your question. Don't make a mistake and say that it means for the nations of the world. Since there are so many Korbanos, where do we have so many Korbanos? On Sukkot. And who are those Korbanos being offered on behalf of the nations of the world? So here the Mitzudah says, make no mistake, these Korbanos are not for the Umos Ha'olam, they're for us. We need the atonement first. Ba'avur Kol Yisrael Ha'kol Oyla Ratzlemer Af HaChatois, even the Chatois, the sin offering, how you call all you Kolil Ko'ila, V'loy Achulum HaKoyhanim, and it was not eaten by the Koyhanim, but why not? But a Chatois generally is eaten. Einochnami V'hoirosha, so this was a Haroasha. Let me read you the Gemara in Masech to Harios. Hikrivu Oyla Salukei Yisrael Al Shum Mo Hikrivu HaKavonis Eilu. Why are these Kavonis being offered? The Gemara answers, Tanya, Rabbi Hud Oimer, Al Avoida Zore Hevium. These were being offered to atone for the sin of idolatry. Viyam Rabbi Huda Mashmuel Al Avoida Zore Shaosu Bimei. Tzidkiyahu, the last generation. Tzidkiyahu was the last king. The last years when Klal Yisrael lived in Eretz Yisrael, they served idols, and they need atonement. And that's why they're bringing these 12 sets. L'chayra, each set, one par, one goat, is connected each one of the 12 shvatim. The Gemara is a question, but you can't bring a carbon for a sin that's done b'mezid. The ha mezidin havu. When they worshipped idols in the time of Tzidkiyahu, they did it with will. They knew what they were doing, and a carbon is only offered for a sin that's committed inadvertently. So the Gemara says, you're right. It was still atonement for avodah zarah, but this instance was unique. Ella, so Gemara, horoa shah haisa. It was a decision of the time. It was a unique decision. Ezra was a navi. Hashem gave him permission that this shall be done at this moment in time. Sha'af shah yumizid, no hayumischapim, it was atonement for the sins they committed. Okay, we'll stop here.